good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, an opportunity to open up His Word this evening. We are thankful for the Word of God, and we can spend a time around it, and we can soak in the truth of His Word, and what a blessing that is this evening. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've preached from this text a couple of times, and I'm just taken by the thought that Paul brings in verses 1 through 9, which is of our text. And the thought, the message behind the aim of the message is the church's calling in Christ. Our relation with Christ should reflect in all of our life. And Paul is writing the book of 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth, obviously, but he writes to the church to rebuke them, to remind them, to exhort them in following after Christ, because they had difficulties, they've had issues that have crept into the church, and he writes this letter because he had received a letter from one of the people of the church, the house of Chloe, we find, and he writes the book of 1 Corinthians to instruct them, and he begins by reminding them who they are in relation with Christ. And if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would join there, and in verse 1, the Bible begins to read and says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sophonus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, I love this, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. My Father and God, I come before your throne of grace, and I run to you and hide within you. Father, I pray that you would be with us this hour. I pray that you will take the reading and the preaching and the exhortation of your word, Lord. I pray that you would move and work through your spirit. I pray, Father, that you would get a hold of me, Lord. I pray that you'd empty of me of myself. Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, concision of speech. Lord God, that I would preach your word as your word. Lord, I do not give your people a word from my heart, but I want to give them the word, your word this evening. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's inspired, that it's inerrant, it's infallible. And Lord God, that we can take it and apply it unto our day and life, and that we can carry it throughout our life. Lord Father, I pray that you bless. Be with me this hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here, 1 Corinthians, we find, as I had mentioned, the reasoning of which Paul writes the book of Corinthians is to exhort, to remind, and rebuke the church of Corinth. Paul begins and says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, in verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. We find, first of all, we see a divine institution. I'll say, back in Acts 18, if you know anything of the book of Acts, Paul begins and has arrived and began his missionary endeavors in the city of Corinth. Corinth was a political capital of Greece, and it was also a region of commerce, not just to the neighboring cities, but also to the nations about. The city of Corinth was known for its wealth, for its magnificence, for its literature, for its art, for its luxury. They were well known around the whole place. They were also known for its sin, but also it was very notorious for it was very notorious of the church to licentiousness. They had dealt with many sexual sins here at the Church of Corinth. And Corinth, if we were to associate with any city today, we would think of Vegas, Orleans. We would think of these wicked cities, and we would basically put Corinth right beside them because they were a wicked city. But Paul had come here to preach and hope that souls would be saved and that he would start a local church here within the church, within the city of Corinth, to be a light of the gospel within the city. And as we see in verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. The three thoughts I have by way of introduction, then I'll get into the main message. I have, Pastor said I have a whole hour and a half, so I'll try to stick with it. It's kind of tough to do, but there's a lot here within verse 1 through 9. You all think I'm kidding. I am kidding. But here within this passage, we find a great deal of truth, and he states, first of all, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. They are a divine institution. We as a local church, whether we're gathering here, whether we're gathering virtually, whatever it might be, we are a local church, and we are assembling, but we are also called out. We are a divine institution, and our purpose is that we would be a light to a dark and depraved world. A dark and depraved world to preach Christ and to expand the kingdom of God. We are a divine institution. But also, we see just in context of the book of Corinthians, there was devastating issues within the church. Now, as a church, as a local church, we are in the world. But within the church of Corinth, the issue was not that they were just a church within the world, but the devastating issue was that the world started to creep into the church. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. Now, I read that because it says called to be saints. I want to make it particular and be very specific this evening, not really a message that we want to hear during this time, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. But the church is not just a group of people. We're not just a community or assembly, but we're also individuals. The church is made up of individuals. Each one of us is a part of the local New Testament church. Whether we here are in the building or whether we're at home, we are the church. And we are to be a light of the gospel. And the issue was that the church of Corinth, they allowed immorality, wickedness to creep in, the world to creep in, and it started to, I would say, started to change and alternate the way the church is to function, and it has hindered the church to be a light of the gospel. The church had become a defiled church. They allowed sexual immorality. They have allowed drunkenness. They allowed, they were using grace to be a license to sin. And they were a defiled church, but also we find that they were a divided church. They divide in verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. They were divided in four different directions. They were following after different teachers. They were following after, but the problem is, they became divided. There was no unity within the church of Corinth. But they also were a disgraceful church. Because they were not glorifying God, but they were focused on themselves, but also they were hindering the gospel. The very reason that the church is even here is to glorify God and to preach the gospel to every nation. The church, there was a devastating issue. And so Paul writes the book of Corinthians to rebuke them, but he begins by reminding them here in verse 1 through 9, of who they are in relation with Christ. He says you are of a distinct identity. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That word sanctified has the idea to be set apart. But the church is of a distinct identity. And we, our identity is that we are no longer of this world. We have been separated. And now we're walking down a light of holiness. And we're walking and demonstrating the evidence of the gospel within us. But we are a church. We are of a distinct identity. And Paul says, this is the way your relationship with Christ should reflect in all your life. Not just within the building, but at home, at work, when you're about in the marketplace, wherever you're at, the gospel Christ should be in your life. It should be seen. Your life should reflect the Christ. And so I have 3 points this morning, this evening. My mind is scattered. Forgive me. I'm going to try to stick with the text and not ramble off too far. But 3 thoughts I have, we find in between verses 1-9, we find that the church is sanctified in Christ. Secondly, we find that the church is supplied by Christ. And also lastly, the church is sustained in Christ. So the first thought is the church being sanctified in Christ. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, Jesus called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, first of all, you are the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. He says, you are sanctified. That has the idea, we understand what sanctification means. It's a lifelong process, but that is not what is written here. It says sanctified. You're not being sanctified. You have been sanctified. It's past tense. In other words, there has been down this long process of sanctification. Somewhere at the beginning, there was a decisive change. There was a course redirected and you were sanctified. And so here Paul saying, you've been set apart somewhere, but you have been set apart. You have been sanctified, but you're not sanctified. But he says, you have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. You have been set apart from the world in Christ Jesus, and you're called to be saints. And so the saints, and as I mentioned already, he gets very specific here. And does not just talk to the church as a whole, but he also gets to be specific and says, each one of you have been sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. Each one of us has a role. We have been called to be sanctified, to walk in light of holiness, to walk in the light or the life of Christ, to walk in a life of Christianity. And we have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Unto the church of God, which is according to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. There is also a continual response. There's not just been a decisive change, but there also has been a decisive call. In verse 9 it says that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have been called out of this world, called in the fellowship of Christ, but also there is a continual response in our life. We respond not just by being in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also we call upon Him. In other words, we turn away from every other master, every other way of life, and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we call upon Him. We respond by looking to Christ each and every day, looking to Christ each and every moment. And this is how we can be sanctified and still live a life being sanctified. That makes sense. But unto the church of God, which is according to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And there's also a common relationship. As I had said, one of the issues that had been in the church of Corinth is that they become divided. They were divided between Cephas and Apollos, of Paul and Christ. And he said, well, hold up. Some of you are saying that you're of Christ. Well, the thing is, all of us are of Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. We have been called as a church in Christ. And he says, both theirs and ours. Gentile, Jew, Samaritan, whatever. They're both theirs and ours. And I'm just going to make a thought, and it's been on my mind here recently, and I just want to be blunt. We have an issue within our Baptist churches today, in this little community that we have, this little bit of fellowship we have within our churches, Sovereign Grace churches. We are proud to be Baptist, are we not? We're proud and we think we got everything figured out. We hold to our doctrine, and doctrine is good. But then we look at other people who are of a different denomination, and we say, well, you're not of Christ. You're following after your own denomination. And we think we are the only people who can be saved or people who are of Christ. But the problem is, that is not so. And I want to say this, if with regards to other denominations, whether they are Southern Baptist, whether they're Presbyterian, Pentecostal, well, maybe not Pentecostal, but whatever it might be, if they believe in the same Christ, well, guess what? He is theirs and ours. He is their Christ and He's my Christ. And I can fellowship with them because we are of the same Christ. We might disagree and we might sit at a table and we might disagree with eschatology, ecclesiology, whatever. But if they believe in the same Lord, the same Christ of the Scriptures, then my friend, He is theirs and ours. We should not be divided as the church of Corinth. But He is theirs and ours. But also in verse, we find we have a common relationship. But not just in a wide and a broad sense of division, but also very particularly a narrow sense, is that we are divided oftentimes in our churches. If you notice, as we end up dismissing church and we have our little congregations within the church, and we like this person, we like this person, or Sunday school class, we like this Sunday school teacher, then that Sunday school teacher, and we follow after them, and we, whatever the case is, we're divided in some sense, but the thing is, we should all come together in unity. There should not be disunity within the church, because we are of all Christ. And is Christ divided? No, but He is both theirs and ours. So we see that the church of God, we are called and we have been sanctified in Christ. But second of all, we see that the church is supplied by Christ. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that everything you are enriched by Him. You are made wealthy by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He's saying, church, you know what? There's a lot of issues within the church, but I just want to remind you, Christ has supplied you with gifts. He has supplied you with, He has enriched you with several gifts, and He has enriched you with grace. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. I'm thankful that the grace of God is upon us, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him, you're made wealthy, you're made rich by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That word utterance has the idea to speak, being able to speak, and knowledge having an understanding of the truth of the Word. And He says, church, you have both of them. You've been blessed. I'll just make this comment. A lot of people have knowledge and they don't say many things. And then there's also other people who talk a lot, but they don't have nothing to talk about. And there's oftentimes that issue, you know. But the church has been supplied with utterance and knowledge. And we as Faith Baptist Church, we have been supplied with all utterance and knowledge. We have the ability and authority to go out and preach Christ. We have the ability to speak out. But we also have knowledge. We have the Word of God right in front of us. And so we must study and we must take the Word of God and we must go out in the streets and preach Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who has come and He has come to save His people. We are to preach, repent ye and believe. We have knowledge of the Word of God and we are to take it and speak it. But we have been blessed and we have been rich with gifts and grace. But also this church, He says, well, also, you have the evidence of the gospel. In verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There's evidence of the gospel. Even though this church, you know, I'll say this, a lot of our churches would take another church and we'll look at them and say, well, they have so many sins within the church, you know, we're going to take their candle off the candlestick and say they're no longer a church. We have no right to do so. And not that, just that, but also the church of Corinth, they were a wicked church and many issues within the church. But even Paul, by inspiration of God, calls them the church of God. And so we see here also when he says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the gospel of Christ was confirmed in you, even though the world is creeping in, even though there's sin, I can see that there has been a change in your life. He's reminding them that God has done something within you. Don't you know it? Don't you see it? Don't you remember it? He has sanctified you and now He has supplied you and the evidence of the gospel is in your life. And so, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, but also so that ye become behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll finish out, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The last thought this morning, evening, I said morning again, my days are all mixed up. And my evening and morning, whatever. The last point is this, that the church is sustained in Christ. We are encouraged and reminded that in Christ, even though we are in sin, whether we are far out there, and the evidence of the gospel is still confirmed to us, He says, you are sustained in Christ. Notice what He says. Who shall confirm you, in verse 7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sustained in Christ through perseverance. We live with perseverance. We are still striving forward. And I'm not saying there's a lot of people who get out and get off the beaten path. I was talking to my father the other day, and we were thinking of the Pilgrim Progress, where Pilgrim was walking down with Old Faithful, his friend, and they're walking down the road, and they jumped over the fence and started going away from the road, and then they ended up getting in the going into the city, and they were captured by the giant of despair and all this other thing. But then he's reminded that, hey, I have confidence and I have promises of God's word that I am saved. And then he gets back and he gets back on the road. There's oftentimes a time of rebellion. There's a time of sin in our lives, and we just get off the road, the narrow road. But we get back on the road. There's perseverance by Christ. We can persevere. And we're continuing on. But also notice there's preservation. Who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? There's perseverance. And there is preservation in the sense that Christ has taken us in. And there is no way we can get out. No matter how wicked, how rebellious we get, no matter how much sin creeps in our lives, Christ is what confirms us. A true Christian will get back and he'll come out of that time of sin. He will repent and come back. But he does not have to worry about losing his salvation, because Christ is who dwells within him. He is persevering, preserving them. He shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord comes back and we stand before God. I'll stand not within my own shoes, but I'll stand within Christ. We are in His fellowship. But also we are secure. We are secure in Christ, not just sustained, but also secure in the sense that in verse 9, God is faithful. It's not about our grip of God, but it's about God's grip of us. I know these things are very elementary this evening, but the point is this. Friend, God has a hold of you, and He's not going to let you go. He is faithful. No matter how rebellious, how wicked, how far you go, God is still faithful. Even when I'm unfaithful, God is faithful. And I say we can cling to that this evening. But also we're not secure just in the faithfulness of God. We are secure in the fellowship of Christ. And kind of goes with the other thought that I had just mentioned, that when we stand before God, we will be found in Christ. We are found in His fellowship. We have partnered with Him. He is in us and we are in Him. And when we stand before God, we will be seen in the righteousness of Christ. The fellowship of our Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Another thought of this fellowship is maybe more so, like I had mentioned it last time I preached on this thought. It's kind of like marriage. A man and a woman, they make a covenant before God and they become one. In the sense that that is how we have with Christ. We can have a partnership. We can be with Him and He is in us, and we walk and we are walking down this road of sanctification, and we are living and we are striving to be more like Him. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the three thoughts this evening is that we are sanctified, we are supplied, and we are sustained in Christ. But the main objective, the main aim, the main thrust of the very text this evening is that our relation with Christ should reflect in every area of our life. When the world looks at us, who do they see? There's a song that I love listening to, and do they see Jesus in me? When I look in the mirror, who do I see? But when I go out in the world, do they see Jesus in me? And that is one thing that we must understand. They were far out there, and Paul's reminding them of their past, of their present, of hope, of their future, that they are still sustained in Christ. But he was reminding them, hey, before I rebuke you, I just want to remind you what Christ has done for you and who you are as a church, as saints, as Christians, as radical followers of Christ. And this should be evidence throughout your whole entire life. I pray that it was a blessing this evening. I pray that I stuck with the text. I didn't preach an hour and a half. I'm trying to get out of preaching 15, 20 minutes. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you for the day which you've given to us. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your word. You have blessed us tremendously. Lord God, I pray that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, make us whole, and may we strive to be more like Christ. May we walk this life of Christianity, and may our lives demonstrate the gospel. Lord Father, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you move and work. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.